now I'm going to welcome into the studio Jenny Nulty and John King. Good morning, girls.
Morning.
It's still morning. I always say on the interviews, is they're always smiling and cheerful. And, you know, the job they're doing must be very fulfilling. So will we just do a quick recap about the work of the Youth Advocacy Programme?
Yeah, so we're YAP, the Youth Advocate Programme, and we work with young people and families, but mostly between the ages of 10 and 18 years of age. So they are referred in through the HSE at the minute. They're our sole funders. So there's generally social work or family support involved. So we work with 10 to 18 on a one-to-one basis. They're matched with an advocate. So it's one-to-one up to 15 hours a week for 6 months. So an advocate is somebody from the local community, so just your average Joe Soap, that's brought in, trained, Garda cleared and managed by YAP, the case managers in YAP. So basically then we would work with that young person for 6 months around the needs that they identify. So when we get the referral, we would link back in with the HSE around what it is that they would like YAP to do for 6 months with that young person and family. When the case managers get the referral, they would go out to that young person and family to do what's called a needs assessment. So they'd look at all the areas in their life around like education, social activities, home, religion, employment, all that. And basically the case manager says to the young person and family, what is it that you want us to support you with over the next 6 months? So the case manager would manage that case. They would come away from the needs assessment and identify an advocate that's going to be suitable to the young person family based on the needs that the young person has identified. So how an advocate is going to get on with that young person. So that's kind of like the lifespan of the case. The advocate then calls, is the one to call on a week-to-week basis. They would set the weekly plan with the young person and family. So whether it's identifying that the young person wants to be linked into football, the advocate would do that with the young person and family. And then maybe the tasks around that goal, like if the young person needs football boots, sports gear, how they're actually going to get to football practice, involving the parents as much as we can. So that the overall aim is that when we finish after the 6 months, that that young person can still go to football if that's the goal that they've identified. So that's kind of the week by week, over the case of the 6 months. So there's also a 2 month review where everybody would come together and look at the goals that were identified at the start to make sure that we're achieving the goals with the young person or if there's new goals to be set. So there's a 2, 4 and 5 month review and then an exit meeting at the very end. So the case manager would manage that with the advocate. As I said, the advocates are people from the community that are brought in and trained and Garda cleared by YAP, and they're managed by the case managers. So there's fortnightly supervision and there's constant contact with the case manager throughout the case of the 6 months.
Yeah, and the first time we interviewed him, he actually have a great success rate.
Yeah,
I think that's the first time he's came into the studio, we were talking about this great success he has.
Yes, we do, indeed. We have a facility to measure like the outcomes of how we, you know, work with the young person, so it's not just randomly kind of left and, you know, hanging in the air, that we actually can measure the outcomes, so we can map like how the young person is when they begin with YAP and then midway through the case and at the end of the case. So you've done a lot of research on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now this is the year of the European citizen.
That's right.
And you recently had a conference, or not a conference,
An event. We had an event in Croke Park.
Yeah.
On the 23rd of October, and it was a great success. We had lots of young people and families came along. We invited other professionals, other agencies, some people from the HSE, and Frances Fitzgerald was a keynote speaker there, and she spoke to the group about the importance of YAP and wanting to continue the work that YAP do with young people, because we're just getting them on that cusp maybe between, you know, preventing them going into care or preventing them going into the
justice system.
Yeah. So it was great. It was, we had fun as well. It was an opportunity, I think, for young people and families to report back, you know, on how they, you know, see, how they understand what it is like to be a citizen, you know, in Ireland at this time. Because often the people we work with do feel quite excluded from community. So it was to bring them together. There was a lot of work put into it over the the months coming up to it. There's a lot of different group work, and very brave of some people to get up and tell their own stories as
yeah,
well.
And people yeah. would. People would stand up and tell them the experience they had with the app.
We have young people, yeah. we have offices all around Ireland, so it's young people, say from Cork, Kerry, Limerick, Galway, Roscommon, all the different counties, Meath, Louth, Cavan, Monaghan, came together in their own areas, and it's participation is what we call it, but they kind of like aim to do something together as a group.
Yeah.
So each area, there's also parent participation, so parents come together, and parents also stood up on the day, yeah. and
There was lots of like the participation groups, as Jenny described, and they'd be from all over the country, and they all kind of presented their own piece of work. So around the country, like there was, one group had done a work on an allotment, so they had grown their own vegetables and golden wonder potatoes, and cooked a meal then, with their own vegetables, and invited people and. People in the HSE offices and that came along to it. So that was, great to just people have different ideas. And mainly these ideas come from the young people, because in the participation groups, they'd be managed by case managers and advocates would be part of it. But we want to draw out from the young people and the parent in the parent participation, like what it is that they want to say, because the purpose of it is to hear the voice of the young person and the families. In Dublin, they put together like a DVD, which was really kind of quite funny bits as well. You know, it's great to see them work together.
Yeah.
And one boy from our participation group actually wrote a rap song, and two girls sang it. You know, and the talent was just incredible. It was actually some people were there was tears rolling down some people's faces in the audience. Yeah, it was really really good and. Just fantastic.
It's a great celebration.
With the support of YAP, to see that these young people would have been excluded from groups on many occasions and wouldn't feel maybe that they are being heard, you know. There'd be a general sense of the young people. I mean, general sense of young people anyway. But to get that opportunity, like with the support of YAP and their advocates, to have their confidence boost and we said, no, we do actually care and we do hear what you say, and to have the minister there was really making them feel very important.
And you've made a presentation to the minister, I believe.
The masks.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see that bit. I was off doing something else. But yeah, there was kind of a sideline. Yeah.
A YAP passport.
A YAP passport. Sorry. Yeah. That's right. And she got the photos taken in the paper.
Okay. And during the event, you launched this initiative called Friends of YAP.
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, that's just trying to actually bring people, you know, people have, maybe young people have gone through the YAP process and asked them would they like to stay in touch and let us hear what's going on for them and let them have a say about feedback to us, like what it's like to be part of YAP and what it's like after YAP and what supports they would need. In fact...
We currently have an advocate.
And she spoke in the day. Yeah.
An advocate at the minute who was on the programme a couple of years ago, and she was a young person matched with an advocate, and supported her for the 6 months and roll on a few years later, and she's now back as an advocate.
Yeah.
So she spoke on the day about, you know, how that felt for her and what she can bring to us now, because we can learn from her. So like with the youth participation, we're going to have like the alumni group and maybe get like a junior CEO of YAP and eventually like get young people to be able to sit on our interviewing panel. So that's hopefully what hope she'll be able to contribute to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Mm. Yeah, just listen to you. I can see how fulfilled you can be when you...
Yeah,
these people come back to you.
I think I said the last time I was on, probably repeating myself.
I'm probably repeating the question, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite meaningful work, really, you know. And I was only talking to someone there who started in YAP just there recently, and they were saying, well, actually, even though I had better hours, you know, just in terms of the work they were doing, that they chose YAP for the kind of doing more meaningful work. And it is important. And that sense of being able to give back and make a difference, I suppose, is...
But how flexible the model is, because if we go in and meet a young person and identify that the family as a whole needs support, that's what we can do. And now the model has reached out to, in Louth, we're taking cases from disability saw the model and seen how flexible and how practical support it can give young people with disabilities, so that, like, they're seeing that this can work, and it's the same model that applies to young people with disabilities, and it's great to see that we can reach out to so many people.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, one, you know, parent would have wrote a speech out on the day, like just when you mentioned there about the whole family being part of it, and that she was just talking about how it does impact, that that's what the big learning for her, it's the whole family that kind of can make a little shift as well. And, you know, seeing the family as a community and being in a way like a citizen in that community in your own family, and how important that is to realise that, you know, that it's not just the young person, but how we can move as well from family to family, case to case, you know, and ask
that,
them.
That girl that she was talking about that came back as an advocate, what training would an advocate need, or do you just base it on their experience?
We don't have like any requirements, basically. Yeah. We want people that have life experience. So if they come hand in hand with qualifications, then we take that. But we don't exclude people because they have no qualifications, or even people that have been through the court system. Like, we don't not take people because they might have been in court 20 years ago. Like, everybody that comes to us has to be trained, and there's a Garda clearance process, so they have to go through the Garda vetting. But if something comes back on their Garda vetting form, we will have a meeting about that and discuss it, but they're not going to be excluded for something that they've done 20 years ago.
Yeah, pretty good.
We do, you know, if they have some experience of, the requirement would be experience of working with young people. That can be paid work or voluntary work, you know. And obviously they go through our own training, our core module training. And as Jenny said, the Garda vetting and child protection.
The child protection, would be mandatory for everybody to do. But that's something that we offer once they get through the interviews.
But we do offer, you know, we'd like to, you know, think that we would encourage advocates, you know, and advocates often, you know, as they go through working with the app, they say, well, gosh, you know, I'd like to do more about, you know, a particular area, or just, you know, study in general. And we would support and encourage them to go ahead and do that. And lots of our advocates do, you know, follow that on down that path where they move on, you know, with their own selves. So the personally, that personal development and professional development is something that we would
nurture.
And the young people, is it a referral? Are they referred to you? But
they're referred in through the HSE. That's the only referral process at the minute, because we're funded. We are a charity status, which is why we're doing loads of fundraising. Yeah. But the HSE are the sole funders at the minute. So they have to be like involved with the HSE on some level. And that's how they were, like a social worker would refer through a gatekeeper, which is normally the principal social worker, and I would go to their meetings once a month and get the referrals and then allocate them out to the case managers.
Okay, fantastic stuff. It's great stuff. You mentioned fundraising there. You have a fundraiser coming up, I believe.
Yeah, Joan is the queen of our fundraising.
Fundraising queen. Someone got a picture of the Queen and put my face in the office, actually. We do indeed, on the 22nd of November in Hanlon's Pub, which is Hanlon's Corner in Phibsborough. There's a fundraising event there. It's actually across the road from our offices.
Yeah.
And we have a music bingo night. So a little twist on your average bingo. It involves music instead of numbers. So, you know, and so you get a sheet handed out to you, and you'd have a list of songs on it, and the songs will be played, and you mark them off that way instead of marking off numbers. And we'll have prizes, not cash on the night, but it should be a bit of a throwback. We have 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s fun songs. We might have a look at your collection here, John.
Oh, yeah, mine will be on 60s.
Nice.
60s and 70s. Give us a few tips. I got chosen to go for the 60s collection. I don't know why that was.
It's the best music, really, when you think about it now.
Yeah.
And the 70s to early 70s.
So really it's a case of having a bit of fun and raising money for a good cause. And like a lot of our fundraising, what's actually raised goes towards those participation groups that we just mentioned there, you know, the actually, you know, putting the money into supporting young people to actually, you know, have their say and have their voice heard and participate in kind of the bigger projects that we would be running. So it's really good to see the route and where it takes the young people, and in terms of their own confidence and self-esteem. And that was something that you mentioned, the outcomes there. There'd be a huge increase in people's, you know, confidence and self-esteem that, you know, after we map the outcomes during the case, you know, that would be one of our successes. That you talk about there.
So that's in Hanlon's Pub and Hanlon's Corner, the North Circular Road, and that's on the 22nd of November.
At 8 o'clock. Yeah,
and it'll be great crack.
It will, yeah. We had a race night back in May when we were talking about that the last time we ran. It was absolutely great fun, yeah. It's brilliant.
The event in Crow Park, was that the first one, or is it an annual thing?
It's more or less an annual thing.
It will become. We had an education for all a couple of years ago, and that was really, really successful. Again, it was the youth participation groups and the parent participation groups coming together to share their experiences about education in Ireland. So it was similar to what happened. Each group got up and spoke about or represented what the group had compiled together, and then there was the round table discussion and professionals invited and the usual. So we're hoping it will be.
Yeah, and the round table discussions just on the day, you know, it'd be a mixture of people. So you'd have young people, old people, professionals, you know, people who work with YAP, like at the table discussing, you know, what it's like to be a citizen, you know, and what ideas would they have. So it was brilliant. At the table I was at, there were some people from a nursing home, and because the young people, you know, one of their groups had visited the nursing home and done some garden boxes and that, and it was great to see the mixture. And in fact, they got into a discussion about, like, one of the older people at the table was talking about maybe that some elderly people might have a bad impression of young people, and then the young people were there coming back to defend themselves, and they were saying, well, then we might have a bad impression of older people. So it was just absolutely brilliant just to see it happening in front of you.
To open people's minds as well.
And they were talking away.
The interaction between people.
How they would. And a young person, I was saying, well, would you call into an older person? Well, I would, but sometimes they might think you want to rob them or, you know. So I was saying, and then the older person was saying, so I suppose it's tricky from on both sides, from both ends.
Actually, well, my man is in a nursing home, and her grandson, or great grandson, went up to visit her once, and he's a hairdresser, but he had his hair pink and green down the sides, and he was sitting there yapping away to her, you know.
Yeah.
And but there was other people walking past the door, and they were stopping and looking in amazement.
Yeah,
and
I
think one of them went down to one of the carers and said, there's a fella down there with Philomena, and you better go down and check him out. Just because of the look of him.
Yeah. Sometimes we have that. We stereotype, young people, and especially the hoodie thing now. And that's kind of, I mean, if you ask some young people, why do you have a hoodie? And they say, well, it's cold. Put me hoodie, I'm just like everyone else. But we can do that. And I suppose we, in YAP, like, we don't. And also, like, we often ask the young people, why do they even listen to us, you know? And they say, well, you're open and you ask us, how can we help? We don't make judgments. We don't.
But even the advocates, you know, if you have an advocate from Coolock working with a young person from Coolock, it's they're talking their talk, you know what I mean? And it's practical support. It's working towards the young people, identify what they want to do, if it's help with school, if it's help with getting into football. So they listen to the advocate because they have a part in what it is that they want to do.
Yeah,
that's why it works.
Well, if the advocates are anything like you two, very, very, very easy to talk to. And
I suppose we don't, you know, even when you ask about the events there and that, like, we don't feel like we have the answer to everything. You know, we're a work in progress. We like to improve ourselves all the time. That's why with the Friends of YAP, we want to hear back, like, from young people and who have been on the programme, and let us know what's like for them. And we want to, you know, if we need to make changes, like, we're open to it, you know. So we like the feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned your website.
Yes, I was
checking it out, and it's a fantastic website.
It's been launched there the start of October. So it's very user friendly. There's a few stories from the young people, there's a few stories from the advocates on it. You can also go in to see Meet the Team, which is a favourite of mine because it's quite funny.
We all had to get our picture taken and put up, and everyone was doing their makeup and hair.
Yes.
And it is, and there's
easy
actually
to access.
It's very user friendly and it's fun looking, but there's some little video clips as well of events and things that have happened and photos. So it gives a really good overview and some questions there, like if people want to have more information about YAP, to find out what we actually do.
Or if they want to contribute money, can.
That's very, very, very
it's
important.
It's on how they can, yeah.
They can, indeed.
So you can people can donate online or on your website.
Big funders out there that have loads of money.
Yeah. Local businesses.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and the music Bingo Night fundraiser is in Hanlon's Pub, Hanlon's Corner, North Circular Road, on Friday the 22nd of November at 8 p.m. Now, is there anything else I'm forgetting I just want to add?
I think just to say that thanks again for having us, but we hope to be back again next year, especially maybe in January when we can have our recruitment to get people from the Coolock Darndale area in. So hopefully we'll be back then to advertise.
That's it. And you can go onto our Facebook page and like that as well. Or we're on Twitter as well, all these things. So if anyone is that way inclined, feel free.
So it's yaparireland.ie and
yaparireland.ie.
On Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter. Don't ask me any more about Twitter.
Okay, no. I wouldn't know what to ask.
We have our young people actually in the participation are going to work towards compiling something about social media and how to stay safe. So that might be something that we can
could be come back.
We might bring a young person with us the next time.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I look forward to that. Seeing as in January.
Great.
And we'll go on Facebook and Twitter and like everything about us.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't even know how to go on Twitter, now, to be honest with you. I was told I should be on Twitter because of what I do, but.
Apparently, you tweet. I don't know anything either.
I thought that was
start
something.
Start with Facebook.
Well, I'm on Facebook. Okay, well, listen, thank you very, very much for talking to us,
Ken.
It's always a pleasure.